It's really lovely to be able to speak this morning. I need to start this morning with an apology, which a speaker should never do. But there is a person in the church this morning who has the right to be bored and go to sleep, and that is Taylor. Thank you, Taylor, for coming to do worship with us this morning. Taylor has heard this talk before. Not once, ladies and gentlemen. Not twice, but this is going to be Taylor's third time. So I prepared this talk for Maidenhead because the Lord really spoke to me about this. And then I was asked to give it at the Journey Weekend away. And lo and behold, Taylor was there. And then Slough Church said to me when I went to speak there the other week, will you give that talk? And so I rocked up there and Taylor's in the worship. So I arrived this morning and Taylor's in the band. So there's, bless him, bless him. Taylor, the good thing about this is you can take it and preach it in Marlowe. So this talk this morning is Higher Perspectives, and actually just before I start, I really want to welcome the guys. Some of the guys are here this morning who were on the Alpha Day Away, who gave their lives to the Lord. Do you remember? So they're here. I don't know if they want me to embarrass them, but I would like to give a great round of applause to them. Come on, give them a round of applause. It is awesome to have them here and really great to have them as part of the family. So, Higher Perspectives. All right, this morning, what I want to do is I want to start my stopwatch. I want to challenge your thinking and I want to help you to find a way to grow in faith. This is something that Holy Spirit's been talking to me about recently, and it has honestly really impacted me and transformed the way that I do life. In a nutshell, how am I going to choose to look at myself, my life, and the circumstances around me? What am I going to believe about those things? And very importantly, what am I going to speak out about them? And this morning, what I'm expecting is hope to rise in you. And what I'm expecting is that you're going to get a tool in your hands to grow in your faith in God. And I think that's something we all want, don't we? We want to know, how do we grow in faith? Does it just happen? I think we can co-labor, we can partner with God in bringing that to happen. Now, different cultures have very different approaches to life, different attitudes, different ways of thinking about things. I think the British way is to be a little cynical sometimes, a little negative. We've got an Australian here. What are the Aussies like, Ange? Laid back, laid back. If Dave was in the room, I think he's vanished. Dave Van, he's got the old American bit on. Americans are quite positive, aren't they? Quite upbeat, life's good. But I think as people, we also suffer from fear, don't we? It's very easy to live in fear. And you know, how do we counter that? Can we really find a transformation in our hearts through God? And a transformation in our thinking so that we become people of faith and not fear. People whose faith is growing and becoming stronger. And I think we can. And I think that an absolute key in this is how we choose to view the circumstances in front of us. And whether we allow our past poor experiences to shape today and our future. And, you know, as the people of God, I just think that we are called to bring people who bring life. Life to our friends, life to our families, life to our communities. We are carriers of the kingdom of God, and that brings life. And I also think that we've just got so many reasons not to be negative. I truly believe that we can be the most content, the most peaceful, the most joyful, the most hopeful people around. And I would love us in River Church Maidenhead to be people of faith. You know, people who look at the challenges in our lives and actually see them as opportunities for God to move. And who know how to partner with God to see impossibilities come to pass on a regular basis. And not just us, the leadership, but every single one of us. And fundamentally, this morning, I think God wants to issue us an invitation to take a higher perspective on the things around us and to actually call out his purposes in situations around us for ourselves and our community, and actually release heaven wherever we go. How does God see you? I bet he doesn't see you the way you see yourself. Bill Johnson has a great quote. He says, "I can't afford to have a thought in my head about myself that God doesn't think about me." That's really interesting, isn't it? I can't afford to have a thought in my head that's not what God thinks about me. And we saw that video clip with the mums, what they thought about themselves, but actually what their kids thought about them. It was so different, wasn't it? I wonder what you think about yourself if you pause. Do you think you're rubbish? Do you think you've screwed it up? Do you think you're not quite good enough? But if we paused and I said to you, just connect with God, who does God say you are? I wonder what you come up with. Who does God say you are? He says you're his son, his daughter. He says you're awesome. He says he loves you. He says all the bad stuff you focus on, he sees a whole heap of positive. God sees us as people of impossibilities, not who our past experience say we are, but actually who he says we are. Now, our cynicism and our negativity and our lack of belief, it comes out of our hearts. So let's explore this a little bit. Matthew 12:34 says, "Out of the mouth the heart speaks." And the Voice translation says, "For the mouth simply shapes the heart's impulses into words." So what's in our hearts comes out of our mouths. And, you know, we know, don't we, that what we speak is so important. We know as parents, if we constantly tell our kids they're rubbish, and sociologists tell us they'll grow up thinking they're rubbish. Proverbs in the Bible tells us this. It says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." And I love this one. The Message translation of Matthew 12 says this: "There'll be a time of reckoning. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation. Words can also be your damnation." So we're using our words to speak out what's in our hearts. And what's in our hearts is founded in our beliefs. So what do we honestly, truly believe? About ourselves? About God? About other people? And the Lord's really been challenging me about this lately, for a long time. So when I began doing this role in Maidenhead, I can't tell you how stressed I was. I worried about everything all the time, constantly. It was 24/7. I didn't sleep. I worried. It was enormous. And after a year, I said to the Lord, "You know what? I can't keep doing this. There has to be a way out of this. What is going on with me? This is ridiculous. You are God, for goodness sake." And I began to explore what was going on in my heart. And you know what I realized? Deep down, really deep down in the core of me, I worried and I stressed because I didn't trust God. I actually didn't, in the very core of me, believe God would come through for me. And isn't that why we worry? Isn't that honestly why we get stressed? Because down in that very core, there's a little bit of us that says, "Will he come through for me? I don't know if he will, so I better control it and organize it and sort it and get on with it." And our past experiences have got us to that point. Things have happened and we've just thought, "Oh, it's just not going to work. I've got to sort it out." So, you know, we speak out and we act out what's in our hearts. What actually do we actually believe? Proverbs tells us this: "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." Thinks in his heart, our beliefs. So is he. We become what we believe. If I believe, actually, God is not for me, I will become fearful and I will live in a fearful way. Here is a great thought for you. Do our beliefs constrain or limit all that I can become? Do I believe things about myself? Do you believe things about yourself and God that limit who you are? That limit who you can become in Him? So my favourite way of looking about this is like Doctor Who. So I'm a bit of a Doctor Who fan. And I love the TARDIS. And I love the fact that every time somebody goes into the TARDIS, they say, it's bigger on the inside than it is on the outside. And you know, Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I want to be like that. I want to be bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. I want the inside to have these beliefs that do not limit me, that do not constrain who God can be, bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. And I've just been really challenged that we need a new set of belief systems that can contain everything God wants to give us. And that's what he's inviting us to start to get hold of this morning. Bill Johnson said another good thing. I don't have a vision to build a big church. I have a vision to build big people. And I think that's fantastic, because if we are big people on the inside with God, we go out there and we change the world. And that's what he wants us to do. So let's look at a story in the Bible that just illustrates what I've just been saying. So we go to the Old Testament. We go to the people of Israel in slavery in Egypt, and Moses is called by God to lead them out of slavery. And so he gets them out. They do this journey of a few days, Red Sea, lots of water, chariots, the whole works. And they get there on the edge of the promised land. And so Moses sends in 12 spies to go and look at the promised land and to come back and tell him what it's like. Now, this is what they said when they came back. We've got 12 spies. We get two different reactions. 10 say one thing, 2 say another. I'll have a slurp. So I'm in Numbers, I'm in chapter 13, without my glasses, this is dangerous. So I'm reading from verse something that looks like 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of the land, for we will surely overcome it. That's two people. The other 10 previously said this, we went into the land where you sent us. It certainly does flow with milk and honey. But the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. The men who'd gone up with Caleb said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they're too strong for us. So they gave to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they'd spied out, saying, it's a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people are men of great size. We saw these people, and we look like grasshoppers in their sight. And so we became. So you've got two people saying, yes, it's fantastic, it's wonderful, and the people are huge, but we can do it. And you've got another set of people going, yes, it's fantastic and wonderful, and the people are huge, and we can't do it. The difference, those reports were accurate, both of them. The difference was the way the people approached the circumstances, what their response was, what they believed about themselves, and what they believed about God. And that's the challenge to us. Look at what they inherited as a result of what they believed. As a result of believing the 10 and not going in and believing God, they got to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. They didn't see the promised land, and they lived their lives short of all the goodness that God had for them. What would have happened if they'd believed the 2? And they'd gone in. If they'd responded differently to the same circumstances. And I just think that's an illustration that our conclusions about our circumstances are way more important than the circumstances themselves. We can all have the same set of circumstances, but how we respond to them is what dictates what happens. Will we fall short of the goodness that God has for us? Or will we take courage, believe what he says he is, who he says we are, and go and meet our challenges head on? And in trusting what God says, we're trusting the truth. We're trusting the truth of what God says. We're not making it up. It's not positive speak. It's believing what God says. I wonder how we walk this way. And my suggestion is that I think we just need to change our perspectives. I think we need to move from seeing things from a lower perspective to seeing things with a higher perspective. We need our beliefs to line up with the truth of what God says. Not what we tell ourselves or what our circumstances tell us. As we look around ourselves every day, here's a statement. I might have used this before, but I love it and I think about it often. If every situation in our life isn't glistening with hope, then we're believing a lie. If every situation in our life isn't glistening with hope, we're believing a lie. Why is that? You might have something in your life right now that's not glistening with hope. Why do I say you're believing a lie? Because God is the God of all hope. He is never hopeless about any situation. So whatever you're facing, no matter how difficult, he isn't there going, don't know what to do about that. That one caught me out. Didn't see that one coming. He is not hopeless about what's going on in your life. He's not surprised. He's there. He is for us. Scripture tells us, not against us. Scripture tells us his every desire is to bless us and to walk with us through this life. I'm going to give you an example of how we can approach a circumstance from a lower perspective and a higher perspective. So, walk with me on this. We're going to look at, a little bit in Matthew 9, which is a story where there's the woman with 12 years bleeding, very sorry, gentlemen, who pushes through the crowd to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. Okay? So, here it is. Shall we read this together? And suddenly, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. So if you're a woman who's been ill, if you're a person who's been ill for 12 years and you've done everything you possibly could to try and get well, what could be your perspective on life? If we're talking about lower perspectives, your perspective could be, it's always going to be like this. It's never going to change. If Jesus wants to heal me, he'll come to me. This is what God has predestined my life to be. You could think that, couldn't you? You've been ill for 12 years. There's nothing I can do to change my circumstances. Wouldn't it be really easy to think that? If God wants me to have healing, then there won't be obstacles in my way. That's interesting, isn't it? God wanted her to be healed. There was a massive crowd in the way. We could think that, well, you know, it's got to be easy if it's going to happen. She could think it's not wise to get my hope up again. Here's one. She could have thought that she should ask Jesus first if he wanted to heal her. Not presumed that he did. And if we're really honest, isn't it easy to think those things? And we don't actually even realise we're thinking them. But they just kind of form this undercurrent, don't they? That we're not even aware of. It's there until somebody stands up and says, we could think these things. And we all go, oh yeah, I probably would do. What are the higher perspectives you could take on that situation? You're that person ill for 12 years. What does Scripture say? 1 Corinthians 10 says this, no temptation has overcome you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape. There is always a way out for every situation. That is the truth. We could also think this, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I will seek him because he is a rewarder when I do. Draw near to God and he will draw near to me. She pushed through the crowd to God and Jesus met her where she was. So you could believe spiritual hunger and persistence bring great rewards. I think that's probably true. You could also believe that we are not destined to live in hardship. Romans 10 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word is sozo, saved, healed, and delivered. We are not destined to live in hardship and mediocrity. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a higher way of looking at those same circumstances that that woman was in. And what we believe is the deciding factor of where our lives are going to go. The truth that we believe is what sets us free. We can all be spiritual here on Sunday mornings. We do our best. But what happens when we go out and we meet our lives head on and all the circumstances? What counts is whether we're going to take what God's word says and actually believe it. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So, first of all, we've just been looking at what are we going to choose to believe. And once we've chosen what we're going to believe, what do we do with it? Well, I'd like to suggest it's what we speak out and what we say. Job 22 says, declare a thing and it will be established for you. If we allow our beliefs to be shaped by our experiences and we reinforce that by what we say, nothing's going to change. It always goes wrong for me. It's always bad. There are always going to be problems. I'm not going to get a chance. And in speaking those things out, we agree with those things that aren't true. We make an agreement with lie. What we need to do is speak out the truth about what God says. Just like Joshua and Caleb did. And do you know what? As we do that, as we take a situation and we say, do you know what? This is really tough. I've been in this for ages, but there is always a way out. God will provide me with a way out. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I am a person who is being saved by God in this situation. As we begin to say that, we're establishing something and experience catches up. Now, that's a bit weird for us, but it's like you've ordered something from Amazon. Now, none of you ever order anything from Amazon, I know. But if you order something, actually not always from Amazon, you get a tracking number, don't you? Quite frequently. So if you ordered something and you hadn't got it the next day, you'd be like, well, I better order it then again then, wouldn't I? Well, no, that's stupid, isn't it? Because they've given you a tracking number. You've ordered it, you've bought it, you've paid for it, it's yours. You haven't got it yet, but you've got the tracking number that tells you it's on its way. This is what scripture's like. You've ordered it. You've bought it. Jesus has paid for it. You've got the tracking number, the verse. Hold on to it while you wait for the parcel to arrive. Okay? That's what God wants us to do. That's how we exercise faith. We take our tracking numbers. We hold on to them. We keep reminding ourselves that they're there and we wait for the parcel to come. And it does. It does come from God because God's word is powerful. It releases life. It changes circumstances. And he wants to do that in our lives if we will but get hold of it and speak it out. God's perspective on our circumstances is higher than ours. And it is always filled with hope. Now, I've got a slide here. Let the weak say, I am strong. But actually, as I even put this together, God spoke to me and said, there's somebody here this morning, or maybe more than one person, who feels like that little man. You feel really little in the face of life. And actually, what God says to you is in him, you are that big person. In him, you are strong. So I don't know whether that applies to anybody specific here this morning, but I really felt God wanted me to throw that out as a word. So if you're here and you feel really small in the face of everything that's going on, God says you're strong. But let's just talk about this slide. That's from Joel 3. Let the weak say, I am strong. We need to declare the truth out of what God says, not what we feel or what our past experiences are saying to us. We need to say what fruit is hanging on our lives before it's there. Tracking parcel. So, that is an apple tree. Obviously, it's got apples on it. That is an apple tree. But it's in winter. You wouldn't, if you knew that was an apple tree, you wouldn't look at that and go, it's not an apple tree, it hasn't got apples on it. It is an apple tree. Its DNA is an apple tree. It just hasn't, at this point, got the apples on it, but it will. It will. If it was a really young apple tree, we still wouldn't say that's not an apple tree because it hasn't got apples on it. It is. It's just not grown to the point where it has apples. And part of coming out of weakness, let the weak say I'm strong, is to call ourselves who God says we are before we actually experience that in our lives. So it's not denying what we're going through. It's not denying the awfulness and the difficulty that we're in, but it is declaring the truth of what God says. So we start by saying what God says about a situation, not what the circumstances say to us. So if we go back to the study of the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment, what good things could she have said? God always has a solution. I'm in this pit, but God always has a solution. I'm going to live a life of real spiritual hunger and determination. She could have been declaring that every day. Nothing is going to stop me from touching Jesus. It's a good one, isn't it, to declare every day? Nothing is going to stop me from touching Jesus. What's something that I use every day is I am growing every day in spiritual hunger. Every day I'm growing. Every day I'm growing in it. Declaring it out, declaring it out. We need to speak these things out so our spirit man hears them, our beliefs are transformed, and our faith grows, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So our current beliefs create our future experiences. It's like we open a door. I love Psalm 24 that talks about us being gates and doors that the King of Glory comes through. As we speak in these things out, we're actually opening gates and doors for God to come in and change things. So, in conclusion, I would love us to commit to go on a journey to become fully convinced in believing who God says that we are. And what God says about the circumstances that we face. And you know, it's not a one-off. It's an intentional, daily thing. God's invitation to every one of us is to live at higher levels of faith and perspective, to believe for and experience greater things, to go into hopeless situations and speak out what God says, not what we see in front of us or what our past experiences tell us. This was that story of the 12 spies. The land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. God is inviting you into an exceedingly good land. And our access point into that exceedingly good land is what we'll believe and what we'll speak out about what God says he is and the circumstances that we're in are. So, homework. Why don't you go on a 40-day, it's Lent, negativity fast? Not let a single negative thing come out of your mouth. A positivity feast instead. There's the thought. Why don't you write some declarations for yourself based on God's truth? In areas where you feel you're not glistening with hope. And why don't you say them out daily? I just stand here, I just say, I am by nature quite a negative person. And this has transformed me and the way I think and the way I've approached life and God. By saying out, positively declaring what is true. It really transforms, and in the inside it changes you, and all of a sudden you realise you believe what you're saying. You don't start off with, but you do by the time you've done it a little while. Another thing I'd really suggest that you could do is read this book. Much of my material is nicked from it. Steve Backlund, Higher Perspectives. It's great. It's like a devotional. You can do one a day. And he literally does what I did with the woman who was ill and takes one and goes, look, these are the lower perspectives that we could think. And you sit there going, oh, yeah, I think that. Never realised I think that. And he says, this is what you could think. And he gives you declarations to say. It is such an encouraging book. I really recommend you get that. Claire's sitting there. Tony was somewhere. They can get it for you in Quench if you want it. Really, really good book. And what I'd like us to do as we finish is do a prophetic act together. Are you up for this? No bunny suits involved, don't worry. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to imagine as we're sitting down, we're sitting in lower perspectives, lower ways of thinking and believing. Okay, like the things I said about the woman, I'm always going to be like this, it's never going to change. And what we're all going to do, if you want to, you don't have to, is stand, not now, stand as a prophetic act that I am going to stand up and I'm going to start to work with God and believe higher things. I'm going to have higher perspectives. And when we stand, I would love us to make two declarations. See things differently. See things in 3D. Look at the world differently. We're going to say together, I am constantly increasing in faith. That's one to say every day. I am constantly increasing in faith. I always see things from God's perspective. Are you up for that? Okay, so you're all sitting down. Lord, we just acknowledge that we so easily and so readily see things from a lower perspective than you do. And Lord, we want to become people who see things from your perspective. People of faith, not people of fear. So Lord, we now stand. We stand, Lord, as a prophetic act that says we want to cooperate with you, we want to partner with you, we want to look at things differently and release your kingdom on this earth, in our lives and the lives of the people around us. And together we say, Lord God, I am constantly increasing in faith. I always see things from God's perspective. And Father God, day by day, would you take us on a journey with you to grow our faith, to expand our hearts, to transform our minds, to renew our thinking, because we're up for it, God, because we want to follow you to the exceedingly good land that you have for every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.